The criminal mastermind is confined in a transparent cell, suspended by glass chains from the roof of a large warehouse in what was the old meatpacking / performance art district. The cell is suspended in order that the criminal mastermind may be observed always and from all angles by his guards and by the parties of tourists and schoolchildren who regularly visit the maximum security facility. It is considered doubly beneficial to allow these visitors, since the example of the criminal mastermind necessarily acts as a deterrent to criminal activity, and his constant observation by members of the public further reduces his chances of escape. The criminal mastermind, it should be noted, is not allowed any visitors of his own, such as friends or family members, although rumours persist that they do join the lines outside the facility and buy tickets along with everyone else. All of the criminal mastermind's possessions, it should be further explained, are transparent. His furniture is made of lucite. The bed and chairs are upholstered by plastic cushions containing a clear gel that is nonetheless quite comfortable and which additionally can be warmed in the prisoner's Perspex microwave oven to a pleasant temperature on cool days. His sheets and clothing are also transparent, woven of coconut fiber in the traditional Filipino style. Such linens have long been prized luxuries in Filipino society on account of their diaphanous lightness and have been found to be made to be much more comfortable and therefore humane than the plastic clothing and bedding initially issued to the criminal mastermind, in which he was apt to sweat and which was found to fog in the region of the armpits and crotch. Indeed, souvenir smocks of the kind the prisoner wears are for sale in the small gift shop outside the facility, and for a time, shortly after introduction, became quite a fashionable item. For reasons of taste, naturally, the prisoner's coconut fibre pants and undergarments are not for sale, public nudity being a criminal offence, and one for which additional days are constantly being added to the criminal mastermind's sentence. It has been found that these items' sales are enhanced by not being exact replicas of the criminal mastermind's property, to which end the phrase, clearly just, has been embroidered on the breast pocket of the smocks. It may be recalled that franchises for these gift concessions, as well as for a variety of fast food carts around the facility, were awarded to family members of the criminal mastermind's victims at trial and as due reparations for their losses. The transparency of the criminal mastermind's cell was considered when first constructed to be both a penal and architectural triumph. Several government offices have subsequently incorporated the high tensile transparent materials developed for the cell to suggest greater openness. However, as time has gone on, numerous visitors to the facility have noted that what remains hidden is the criminal mastermind's black heart. The visitors' suggestion box at the facility indeed became crammed with ideas for how this might be solved. And so, several years ago, special steps were taken to rectify this oversight, specifically the installation of translucent panels or windows into the criminal mastermind's chest, and, for good measure, his temples. The medical procedures involved were not in themselves revolutionary or particularly arduous, though these refinements did require the costly and time-consuming construction of a suspended and transparent operating theatre. Criminal mastermind's heart, incidentally, is not black at all. That is merely a trick of the lighting. Through the expedient of a small bulb fitted just below his sternum, which can be turned on for a timed period by remote buttons outside the cell, a hands-on refinement to the facility, the heart itself can be illuminated and seen to be a dark purplish red. A similar arrangement was initially installed to illuminate the criminal mastermind's brain, but this was removed after the guards complained that they were tired of hearing visitors push the cranium bulb a button and say such things as, "Look, an idea, a criminal idea," over and over again. And yet, in more recent years, the criminal mastermind's cell, which rose as high as the second most popular tourist attraction in the country in its first 3 years of operation, has been steadily losing popularity. There was a sharp peak in ticket sales in the sixth year of operation after the release of a film of his crimes, but this proved to be only a temporary reversal of the trend, and subsequently attendance has dropped in each quarter of each cynic year since. The expensive and widely publicized surgery to install the transparent panels in the criminal mastermind's chest and temples was only the latest in a series of efforts to revive the facility's popularity as a visitor destination, but even this has barely arrested the declining attendance figures. If the current trend persists, it is likely that within 2 years, ticket receipts will no longer support the costs of incarceration. It has also been noted by criminologists across the country that the deterrent effect of the criminal mastermind's incarceration, which peaked in the 3 years after his capture when criminal activity of all kinds was seen to fall sharply, has begun to wear off. Statistics have been recording a rise in white-collar crime, theft, and violence for some time. But in the last 2 years, spree and caper crime have seen an upturn, and the latest alarming figures suggest that even so-called perfect crime, or crime of the century crime, the specialities of the criminal mastermind himself, are again on the rise. The conclusion drawn from many sources is that the criminal mastermind is no longer a very impressive figure. That his very piteous state might, rather than deterring people from crime, encourage them to think that they could do better at it than this poor specimen. Others indeed have accused the facility of being a sham and the criminal mastermind himself an imposter or a stooge of the state. It might be noted in one of the many ironies of the case, the criminal mastermind's own defense, in which he argued that he could not be the criminal mastermind, despite DNA evidence, since if he were the criminal mastermind, he could not by definition be captured, seems to have anticipated this outcome. This defense, of course, was dismissed at the time as merely one more example of the criminal mastermind's nefarious genius, and shortly thereafter, he abandoned his plea of not guilty by reason of logical inconsistency. In light of the above trends, it has been decided to encourage the criminal mastermind to escape. By this expedient, it is hoped that new luster can be added to the criminal mastermind's somewhat sullied reputation. It is argued, furthermore, that the idea of the criminal mastermind loose on the streets will encourage the general population to remain in their own homes, to heighten their levels of watchfulness, both of which effects are expected to reduce rising crime rates sufficiently to more than offset any additional crimes the criminal mastermind may himself commit. Naturally, the authorities will, in the interim, make every effort to recapture the criminal mastermind. We can, in all likelihood, look forward to a successful cycle of escape and recapture, escape and recapture, which should ensure that visitor revenues and crime rates can be managed successfully for the foreseeable future. To this end, therefore, vigilance has been slackened around the criminal mastermind on the assumption that he's only been waiting for his chance. Guard numbers have been further reduced, blind spots designed into their patrol routes, and a 24-second window of opportunity inserted in the rotation of shifts. And yet, the criminal mastermind, previously presumed to be merely biding his time, has, with typical cunning, shown no inclination to escape. It has been suggested that observing the slackening security, he has been insulted, considers for this reason it's safe to be beneath him. In light of this, it has been decided to incentivize his escape. Initially, this was achieved by small states, dismissing the chefs previously employed to produce his food, retaining his occasional privacy privileges, defecation, masturbation, etc. But none of these modest changes have affected the desired escape. And so, more traditional, so-called throwback measures, surprise midnight cell inspections, cavity searches, and occasional beatings have been introduced. While these measures have not yet had the desired effect of prompting the criminal mastermind to escape, they have had the surprising but gratifying result of raising admissions to the attraction for the first time. Beatings and other indignities, while a surprise to the prisoner, are widely advertised and have become a popular attraction. Even though the criminal mastermind himself now recognizes the presence of a larger crowd as a sign of what is to come, the lack of surprise is more than compensated by his cowering and cringing, which always draws appreciative applause from the spectators. Signs of tears, themselves transparent, of course, are particularly prized. In short, so successful has this new development been that security has been raised once more, and plans for the criminal mastermind to escape shelved.